we had a case the other day. We're going to argue back and forth about two different schedules for two different kids. What time is the pickup and what time is the drop off? And I'm watching the clock tick off and I'm like, God damn it. Like, how much money are we spending on this?
Hey, hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating. We cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. Real quick, let's talk about the sponsor. Today's WTF Divorce episode is brought to you by SoberLink. If you're going through a divorce and custody case involving alcohol, SoberLink is the solution for you. More on SoberLink at the end of the show. Now, on to today's episode. All right, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. Today, we are lucky to be joined by Dennis Vetrano. Dennis is a divorce and family lawyer. You've probably seen him on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. He's got some excellent videos. Thanks for being on today, Dennis.
Oh, so good to be here with you, Rob.
It's always good to talk to other guys in the field, and you give a good perspective because you're kind of on the inside. You're a lawyer, but you also understand marriage, men, dads, all these other pieces that all blend together in divorce.
Yep. I want to try to give people the, as I've always said, the short-term game and the long-term game. Short game, like how can I help you with divorce law and stuff like that? But long game, like how do we look forward in your life to fix whatever overall we can, right? Bigger picture.
Yeah. And I like you give marriage tips too, because a lot of times you get divorced, you're probably going to get married again. And how many times do you see people coming to the office? Oh, second time, third time. Is that a common thing?
Yeah, we do see that on occasion. I mean, I always feel like, again, like getting back to the short-term game, long-term game. I mean, I think so many guys will come to me. They're like, hey, I was blindsided. I got served with divorce papers. And it's like, you know, I want to give you the things you need to hear and you know, helping hand sort of things you need to hear so that what, if anything, that led to the divorce, if you can preserve your relationship, you try to fix those things and move forward. So I don't want to see you in my office. People are like, oh, lawyer, you just want another case. You just want to bill another few hours. We've always been so busy. I don't need that. Even if I was that type of person, I just want to try to help people if you can.
You brought up an interesting word that I hear a lot, especially from guys, blindsided. And I heard, you know, statistics are saying that up to 80 or even 90% of women are initiated by the woman. What do you see in your office when you're working with men or women? Do you see that trend?
I think I do see the trend of women filing more often. And I think there's also a misconception because I work with roughly equal amounts of men as women. And I think what we hear on the ladies' side is like, look, you know, it took me a long time to really come to this conclusion. I really didn't want to get divorced, but, you know, these issues were festering and nothing was changing. And I was bringing up the issues over time. And then on the other side, you have the guys being like, oh, my God, I was served with papers. I had no idea. I was blindsided. And so I'm trying to like rationalize, like, how do we rationalize those two perspectives? Like women saying, hey, it took me a long time to get to the decision and I'm filing and I didn't want to, but it's over time. And then guys saying, hey, wait, I was blindsided. Like, what do we learn from those two stories to try to like get better, right? Long term game, improvement.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm 3 years divorced and I've kind of started to wrap my head around this idea that like, and this is a generalization, so it sounds bad, but I think men can be more complacent in a marriage. They're like, oh, we're fighting. That's just the way it goes. And so like they kind of expect like, we'll just sit in this inertia for a long time. It's the way it goes. And it seems like women are now getting to the point where they are more empowered, where they are, maybe they have their own careers now. They don't need a shitty husband, like for better or worse, you know, like, right. So they're taking the initiative where I think a lot of guys, I've even talked to friends who are married. I'm never going to get divorced. Like if I have to, I'll get a mistress. She'll get her person. It like sounds bad, but there seems like guys are more complacent in marriages than women today.
Yeah. And I think the modern woman, I think let's start overall. I think guys tend to accept that, you know, forgive this expression, but on average, they tend to accept like mediocrity in their relationship and say, hey, this is what it is. And I think the more modern, more empowered woman is demanding more out of their lives. And we should expect them to, just like you should as guys, right? Expect more out of your life. Expect more out of your relationship. More out of your job. More as a father. More as everything, right? And when they're doing that, like we're not like catching up. We're not like saying like, hey, you know, step back and be more introspective, be more self-evaluating, like take a look at what's going on around you. You know, I kind of suffer from that a little bit too. I think guys in general, again, generalization, like kind of like struggle with that. They struggle with like the everyday, like, you know, really looking at how everything is going and having a good barometer as to whether or not things are going well or not. And then just accepting it's like it just plods along. Whereas mm-hmm. later's like, hey, wait a second, this should be more, this should be better, this should be, you know, this should be inspiring, this should be passionate, this should be a new day, it should be happiness, it should be all of these things. Whereas we as guys are like, just like, you know, plodding along. And then it leads to the like, hey, I filed for divorce. And hey, they're like, oh my God, why?
Mm-hmm. So do you think a little bit is generational, where maybe our dads were working all day, they came home, they didn't have to wear all these hats? So it's like it is a lot more responsibility, it seems like, today, as a man, as a woman, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, that like, are you seeing like a rise in like, this is just too much for me to keep up with?
I think, let's think of it like this: traditional roles, right? Like years ago, I think yes, the gender roles are not catching up, right? The evolution of the gender roles are not catching up, in part. So, you know, you think, you know, traditionally, historically, stereotypically, you know, women would take care of the kids. They would take care of that household. They wouldn't be outside of the home working. They wouldn't be seeking to be CEOs, do all of these things, because the family would always come first, right? Now what you're seeing is women, because societally, we have made a strong effort to encourage them to do this, and we should have, and that was the right thing, to go out and kill it, be the CEO, be the neurosurgeon, be the lawyer, be the doctor, like run your own companies, like, you know, not be beholden to anybody, have that independence, have that, you know, power in so many different ways. And like, we haven't done enough for the guys on the other end to work on the things to kind of come to the middle a little bit. I hope this is, I'm not being too confusing about this, because I just feel like guys with the gender roles, we're used to just going to work, coming home, just like not engaging, like not being self-evaluation, not being reflective, not seeing counselors, not, you know, not mentally and emotionally embracing those things, because that was societally how guys were taught to live, to believe, mm-hmm. to be. That's what a guy was supposed to be. And the women have shifted faster than the guys have shifted. So now, like, women out doing everything, killing it, and then guys coming home from work, you know, going to work, coming home, still expecting the ladies to take care of the kids and this and that and do all these things, in part. And then, like, us, like, seeing this relationship going along and not being introspective enough. So I think it's part of, like, societally, we've created these gender roles, and I think the ladies in general, in my experience, are breaking those roles and evolving quicker than we are as men. And so my message has always been like, hey, guys, I want you to, like, you know, this evolutionary posture, I want to be that voice that's like, hey, guys, you know, like, kids and home and family and like paying attention to your marriage and like being engaged. Like, I want you to stay married. I want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to like evolve. Like, society isn't doing enough to get us as guys. So like, so for example, guys are in divorce processes, right? And it's stressful, and they don't go out and seek out counseling. You know, they need it. They need to help themselves. It's not a sign of weakness. And we're not doing enough to encourage them to, like, I say as society in general. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it makes a lot of sense that we are kind of behind the curve. And now with this, with Instagram, with podcasts, there is a lot of therapy. There is a lot of like growth opportunities.
Right.
And chances are a lot of people you probably see are getting married in their early to mid 20s. You're going to be a different person when you're 40, when you're 50. And I'm sure you see a lot, like, one of the people has grown, has worked on themselves. The other person has it. And like, if you're not both growing, it's going to be real challenging to keep that marriage alive. And it seems like today there's more opportunity for growth. So if you're not out there doing it and keeping up with your partner, you might be doomed for divorce.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. Like I said, I mean, I have a lot of guys that I've represented that will be crying to me over the phone and in the office, and I feel terrible about it. And you don't want it to come across like it's, hey, you know, it's your fault, like it's blame or name calling. That's not what it's about. It's just about like, you know, again, you got to be honest with yourself if you want to just like moving forward, if you want your life to be better. You just got to be honest about where you're at. Mm-hmm. And like I said, as a society, we just don't do enough. You know, that's why podcasts such as yours, I think, are like super important. I think guys need to know that they have somebody that knows what they're going through.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest issues is guys, my friends, we do not talk about serious stuff. So where is our outlet unless we are paying to go see a therapist? We need to break down this idea that like you can reach out to your friend and have a conversation. If he's not receptive to it, maybe you need some different friends that you had, you know, when you were 19, when you were 30. You need different friends as you grow also. And that's a big task. I think making friends for guys, you know, in general, I don't know about you, but a lot of my friends are friends since middle school. So right. It's like a challenging thing when you've got kids and work and wife, like, where is my outlet? Where are men finding it? And that's why I think you see like this stagnation that can get people in trouble in their relationships.
Right. And I think also for guys, I mean, think about it like this, like, and I use your example, like, you know, a lot of the friends that we have are friends that we had from high school, friends that we had from college, friends that we had years ago. But while you're married and you're working and you're trying to be like the best, you know, like dad that you can be, best husband you can be, you know, where are those people after several years of marriage? Do you really have those people around? Are these like really your like continued confidants and friends and people you can lean on? Probably to a certain degree, but that intimate relationship with, you know, our core friends, our core supporters, guys, is pretty much gone. And I don't know that it's necessarily all that much different with ladies either. But I think like, you know, we're used to like, hey, you know, you want to work more overtime and help pay for your kids X or Y or Z. Yeah, we're going to go do that. We're going to go out to work, you know, work hard and come home and then go to sleep and go to work again the next day. And like, do we really have those outlets? Do we really have those hobbies? Like, do we still, you know, play basketball if you like to do that, or like shoot pool or whatever hobby that you have? Do we still do those things? Like, I think as guys, that's another thing. It's like, hey, the guy is, you know, societally, we've been raised to be like the protector and like, leader and head of the household. And like with that, you tend to sacrifice yourself in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. One of those things is sacrificing the things that you love to do for fun. And in part, that also, you know, leads to sacrificing that support system that could really help you if and when you go through difficult times in your life.
It's interesting how it's almost counterintuitive, like you spending a guy spending time on himself with his friends, telling his wife, hey, I got to go out with the guys. That maybe comes with some resistance. You always do that. But that could be the healthiest thing for him personally, yeah, but also for the relationship. And when we say, oh, it's not worth it, I don't even bother going out with my guy friends anymore, he suffers, she suffers, the relationship suffers. So it's like on men to, you know, initiate these things and really take responsibility for their friendships. Because if you don't, your wife probably doesn't care if you're going out with your friends or not. Like, you have to be the one that says, this is a priority in my life.
Right. And for me, so perfect example is myself. Like, I don't really go out with like my guy friends and hang out and have a beer. I don't really do that without my wife. Usually it's just my thing is I play soccer. That's what I do. I'll do that a couple of times a week, and that's my outlet. And you'd be amazed at how therapeutic that is, right? Just to get out on a Saturday morning with the guys that I play soccer with, play for an hour and a half. And just like that hour and a half, it's just that break. And yet, now, for several months, my kid now plays soccer. He plays in two different leagues. He's playing four times a week. My daughter's doing gymnastics. She's doing her thing. My wife's doing her thing. You start cutting those things out. And then see the person you start becoming. You start becoming that, like, you know, dad role of, like, dad comes home from work, you know, stressed out, working all day, pissed off, and, like, not relaxed, and, like, you'd need those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better for you to do than take the time you know you need for yourself, and everybody's different, so that you can have the patience, you know, and the interest and the engagement to be the best dad and the best husband. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that. We say, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm good. I'm a machine, man. I'm going to go through and I'm just going to kill it the whole way through. And I don't need any time for me, and I don't need any sleep. I don't need any relaxation. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can build it up, but eventually you're going to pop, and that's, and everything's right. going to go with it. Yeah. I just recently started playing pickleball, and that as like an outlet. And just like I said, I haven't, since I was probably 22, played like pickup basketball, where I can just go and get the competitive out of me. I can, like, there's a little bit of social, there's exercise.
Yep.
And had I not done that, like you playing soccer, like you have to kind of manufacture these activities. Even if it's 1 hour a week, you know, Dennis is going to play soccer. You can look forward to it. You have an outlet. When you come home, you're probably like a better dad, because you're not as resentful that like you're doing everything for everybody else all the time.
Right. And think of it like this: when you come home to your husband or wife, whoever it is, I think this is really relatable for both women and men, but I think we're focusing on men right now. If you come home at the end of the day, you're not that pissed off, cranky, pain in the ass. And then, you know, theoretically, that helps your relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even that takes time. I mean, a lot of this is just like having the thought enough and taking the time enough, and knowing how important it is to seek these things out,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And then being able to effectively communicate them with your partner, who you probably got into a kind of a routine of not the healthiest communication. So like you have to say, hey, I'm trying something completely new. I think it'd be good for me, you know, encourage them to do their things. But I think that's the demise of a lot of marriages, is we get in this routine, everything kind of just calcifies. And then it's so hard to make changes that, you know, you both kind of just check out.
Right. It is true. And I think, but you got to think of it like this, like relationships. Do you ever hear that dynamic? Like even when you're, you know, this is usually like the dynamic when you're like dating in high school, like, you know, when she doesn't want you, you want her, like sort of thing. Not like kind of the in line with like the distance makes the heart grow fond or something like that. But here's the thing. If your husband or wife sees you out killing it at your job, totally mentally grounded and positive, taking your time to be independent and doing your thing, but still committed and engaged and wanting to be with them, that's what other people are attracted to. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just out dating, it's the same thing. It's the same dynamic, but we don't see it for what it is, and we don't take the time to think about it and know we need to do it. And even if we do, we say, well, I don't need that. You know, I feel guilty about taking that time from my kids. No, your kids need you to do that. Mm-hmm. Your husband or wife needs you to do that. Because if you come home as that guy that just went out and played soccer and you're getting exercise and the endorphins in your brain are going wild, you're all happy, you're motivated, you come home, you are a different person. You are a different person. I will tell you, you are, whether you believe mm-hmm. it or not. And your spouse will see that and feel that. And then you're going to be more motivated to engage with them. You're going to be more motivated to be interested in what they're doing. You're going to be more motivated to communicate with them. There's so much mental involved with this, but the mental starts with you so that it can translate to the other person.
Well, hopefully people are listening to these conversations and the light bulb's going off and saying, you know what, that is me. And maybe I do need to make a change.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to... You know, I think for guys, I think we get used to wanting to take the responsibility for things, right? We used to want to say, I'll deal with it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. It's me. Put it on me. Put it on these big, strong shoulders. I can deal with it. But then on the flip side of that, when there are situations like that, they feel like they're being accused and being blamed for things. And that's like really, that's not the way to look at it. That's not what these things are about. And so when I give them advice that says, hey, you can't change the other person, you can only change you, they're like, oh, see, you're just blaming me. Like, I'm doing the best I can. I'm killing myself at work. I'm working 12-hour days. Listen, I get it, man. Totally. I've been there, done that, and I'm still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just make some minor tweaks working on you, you see how the rest of the world reacts to you. And I'm only telling you guys this because I want you to be better. I want the better you are, believe me, you will be happy with the results. Mm-hmm. So these little shifts of how we can improve ourselves, watch how different everybody reacts to your kids, your husband, or your kids, your wife, your, you know, whomever, your boss, anybody you're around.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. I always say to myself after struggling with the kids or something, like, this is the way I do it. How's that working out for you? Is it really effective? Are you feeling good about it? Usually the answer is no. So you have to like start to say, maybe I need to try, you know, a completely different mindset or try like one small action, because like, I think we all could say like the things that we're doing are not really working. Like what I'm doing is not working. So, you know, you need to try something else and be open to doing it. Easier said than done, of course, but like, that's what I always, resistance is futile. You have to just like accept that, like, this is not working. I'm going to have to try something else or else it's just going to continue.
Yep. It is for sure.
All right. A couple of divorce questions.
Sure.
We have a divorce lawyer on here. I'm sure you're seeing a lot of clients. I wonder a couple of things. Do you see a uptick in divorce people coming to your office? And then corollary to that, how often is cheating the reason people are getting divorced?
I'm seeing pretty much consistent themes in terms of the rates of divorce, and they're generational. I'm seeing the younger generations, like, so I'm Gen X. So I'm seeing Gen X and older tending to continue to get divorced at very high rates. I'm seeing the younger generation getting divorced less frequently. And I think in large part, you know, you can never put this 100%, but I think in part it's because people are getting married less frequently. That's part of it. But I think also people are tending to get married later in life. So they tend to know themselves a little bit better than they used to years ago. And I think societally, we've encouraged people like empowering women, which again, I think is excellent. We should continue to do that. But it's also empowering people in general to expect more out of their life and expect more out of their relationship. And maybe in part because there's a function of people living longer. You know, people are like, you know, people used to say, well, you know, I've gotten comments on TikTok. Well, you know, over 50, it's not worth getting divorced. You're only going to be on this earth for another, you know, 5 years. Not another 5 years. Look at the math. Look at the statistics. People right. are living much longer these days. And people realize that at 50, I just turned, well, no, I'm going to turn 52 in 2 days. So at 52, you still have a whole lot of life to live. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, they're realizing that, hey, I should demand more. Hey, I'm living longer. And hey, this relationship that we started like umpteen gazillion years ago, we really haven't worked out for the past 30 years. And it's a shell of its former self. And now it's just time to kind of move on. Mm-hmm.
Going back to the second part of that, how often are clients coming in, men and women, that are saying, he cheated, she cheated, we're getting a divorce? Do you think that's the number one cause of divorce today?
I think, listen, you're always, I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this, right? There's what people say is the reason for the divorce, which again, you know, you're going to have your top reasons of still the same thing, you know, abuse, you know, finances, affairs. Yeah, those are going to be in your top group, right? But I don't believe those are the real reasons why people get divorced. I think the real reasons are core issues underlying that, you know? So usually the affair doesn't cause the divorce. It's what happened leading up to someone having an affair that caused the affair that then they say caused the divorce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, in my mind with the affairs, again, you're going to have those circumstances where somebody just cheated on you and that's it. And it just came out of the blue. But that's pretty rare. Usually there are factors and circumstances that lead up mm-hmm. to somebody cheating on the other person.
Yeah. So, it has to, I always imagine it's a symptom of something deeper. And I'm sure in a lot of ways people think, I don't know how to get out of this. Things are okay, but they're not good. So maybe they cheat as a way to, you know, maybe they're subconsciously like sabotaging it, or they're trying to get caught because right. they know they want out, but they don't know how to communicate or work on the relationship. So it's just, you know, let me have a little fun, get caught, take my medicine and move on.
Right. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I think it's what I always like to try to focus on is you have these core things that you think are the what led to the divorce, but there are underlying reasons for that.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. All right. One more here. What is the number one mistake you see people making in the divorce process?
Well, there are a whole host of mistakes that people can make, but I think the big picture mistake that you can make is allowing your emotions to drive what's happening in the divorce process, because the emotions need to be separated from the legal. Because I have so many cases, and I will tell you now as a divorce lawyer, years ago, I used to, acquiesce, maybe play ball a little bit more with what people wanted me to do in their case. I've become more and more rigid about trying to save people from themselves in that, look, you want me to keep sending letters back and forth to that lawyer on the other side over pickup and drop off and over what somebody said to you on the phone or whether or not the kid had their lunch that day. I'm not going to do that stuff. And yeah, we want to really duke it out, get really nasty. I'm not, you know what? When I was 35, you know, earlier in my practice, but I've been doing this closing in on 25 years now, and I know that's not the way to lead to an effective result. And in the cases that your clients are hellbent on you doing that, I say, look, maybe you need a different lawyer. If mm-hmm. you want me to be aggressive for the things that are important, when you need to be aggressive to ensure that you get a fair result, I'm your guy. If you're looking for somebody to just go scorched earth back and forth just because, you know, you have an axe to grind, I'm not your guy. Because what's going to happen is you're going to insist that I do that. You're going to get upset when you realize how many tens of thousands of dollars you spent to do that. And then when you're done with the divorce case, you know who you're mad at then? You're mad at me. Now, you fought me so hard throughout the case to be as aggressive as is possible for things that, you know, there's a basis for them. I wouldn't do anything frivolous, but I'm saying even if there's a basis, you got to decide, do you really want to do those things? Do you really want to go scorched earth in this case? Because it doesn't really get you anywhere, you know? So yeah. I think the mistake is like, get your emotions out of it. If you're pissed off about them cheating on you or whatever the hell else, figure it out before you go through it. You know, because again, it's not, you don't want to pay me X amount of dollars an hour to be your therapist, number one. And number two, you really don't want me to go scorched earth because you don't really get the result you're looking for when you go to court as much as you would like to. And you're just going to pay me a boatload of money for it.
Yeah, that's one thing we're trying to educate people about is your lawyer is your lawyer. You also need a therapist. You might need a divorce coach. And so we're encouraging people to build a team, maybe invest a little more, and it could save you money. Actually, it could save you time in the process. That's something you advise to your clients today.
Yeah, you know what? It's a more recent phenomenon. I say phenomenon, forgive the expression, but that we actually understand or are starting to believe that it's important to assemble a team and have each player do what they're best at. Like, you're not going to start a baseball team and say, hey, I want my catcher to play center field. Like, why? Why? So for me lately, what I've been trying to do is delegate as much as I can to my, you know, my paralegal staff, my senior paralegals who act as liaisons in the case, because people don't fully appreciate how important it is to have a therapist and a coach involved in the case. Because the difference in the cost, listen, if we had a case the other day, we're going to argue back and forth about two different schedules for two different kids. What time is the pickup and what time is the drop off? And I'm watching the clock tick off and I'm like, God damn it. Like, how much money are we spending on this? I want to do stuff where I feel like my expertise is being utilized appropriately and efficiently. I don't want to be the counselor or argue back and forth about what text message was sent or, you know, what sort of visitation. And I think right now we really, as a profession and as an industry, need to start embracing the idea of people who have expertise and have been through the process to coach people through the process because they need it.
It's so refreshing to hear, especially coming from a divorce lawyer. So I appreciate you being on, Dennis. Let people know where they can find you.
Well, we are DRV Law. That's for the podcast. That's for the TikTok. That's for the Instagram. And drvetranolaw.com is the website. If you guys feel like we can help you, if you're in the downstate New York area. And that's about it. Listen, I just leave with people to say, like, look, the starting point with the divorce process, it's very difficult. Okay. It really is. It can be so much more taxing than you think it can. The way you make it easier is to use your resources. Reach out and listen to podcasts like yours, Rob. It's a really good one. Check out my podcast as well. Gather as much information. It's free. Consume this information so you know what's the best approach for you. And then look, get the right person to deal with the right thing. I don't want to be your therapist. I don't want to be your coach. Just want to be your lawyer. But there are some really good ones out there who can help you through the process. And I hope you guys can try to do that and live well.
It's a great message, Dennis. Thank you so much for being on today.
Good to see you as always, Rob. Hope we'll talk again sometime, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
It comes as no surprise that not all divorces are created equal. While some divorces are collaborative and amicable, others are painful, accusatory, and may simply have you thinking, what the F? If you're co-parenting with an ex-spouse who abuses alcohol, this is a sobering reality. The folks at SoberLink want to help. SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the most convenient, reliable, and reasonable way for a parent to provide evidence that they are not drinking during parenting time. The system's real-time alerts, facial recognition, and tamper detection ensure the integrity of each test, so you can be confident that your kids are with a sober parent. With SoberLink, judges rest assured that your child is safe, attorneys get court-admissible evidence of sobriety, and both parents have empowerment and peace of mind. The WTF divorce community is here to help shed light on the fact that whatever you're going through, you are not alone. If SoberLink is reaching you at the exact time that you need it, visit www.soberlink.com/WTF to sign up and get $50 off your device. That's www.soberlink.com/WTF.